Well, you don't need me to remind you that last Sunday we launched the season of Advent. And so we began a new year for the church. Advent's a time of preparation, not just for buying presents and preparing dinner menus, but preparation for celebrating God's dramatic intervention in the life of the world. An intervention that changed the course of history and forever changed the destiny of people. Because of God's intervention, we are a different people. We are people with a purpose, people in partnership with the living God. We are no longer aliens, but members of God's family. We are Christians. If you pick up the Bible and open the front cover to the book of Genesis, it opens with the words, "In the beginning, God." And that is always the starting point. God is the initiator. God starts the action. God reaches out. And if we continue through the book of Genesis and on, we see that the Old Testament history is full of events that show God's plans. For example, the calling and the formation of Israel, the giving of the Ten Commandments, the action of kings, the words of the prophets, they are all promises of God's activity and purpose. Now, again, God was carefully planning as he prepared to send Jesus into the world. And Luke tells us, at this time, a message from God came to John, the son of Zechariah. The man we know as John the Baptist was chosen by God for a special task. And John, if you like, was the last of the Old Testament prophets, and he marked the end of one era and the beginning of the next. And in this respect, he was a bridge between the old and the new. And so John stands as the link person, the key figure in God's planning. Why? John was called by God to point people to Jesus. Now you will all know that over the last few months or so, New Zealand has experienced serious storms and flooding. Canterbury, the West Coast, Marlborough, they were all particularly affected, and there was widespread damage. And even warnings over radio and TV didn't save people from having to be evacuated. There was imminent danger, and action was needed. Warning people of danger was the work of John the Baptist. But John was talking about a different sort of flooding. He was talking about baptism, being plunged into the River Jordan. And so this raises the questions, well, what was the emergency? And how on earth would being plunged in the River Jordan help? Would that help people avoid danger? And above all, how would that be the means to finding God's favour? Well, as with all of these occasions, there is an important context and a backstory to the events. And Luke helpfully gives us a date and sets the context in which this drama unfolds. And so the gospel reading this morning opened with these words from Luke, stating where it happened and when. He says, "It was now the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, the Roman emperor. Pontius Pilate was governor over Judea. Herod Antipas was ruler over Galilee, and his brother Philip was the ruler over Iturea and Trachonitis. And so the situation was that politically, Rome was the ruler, and had been, in fact, for 100 years. But in recent years, the situation had become worse. Instead of just having a ruler in Rome far away, there was now a Roman governor in Jerusalem, Pontius Pilate. And the hand of Rome was being held more tightly holding the people of Israel in the situation. What's more, two of King Herod's sons were shakily ruling under Roman permission in the north of the country. And part of the trouble was that most Jews held Herod's son in disdain. They did not regard them as real rulers, but mere puppets of Rome. And the high priests weren't much better. And the people knew that they couldn't go on as they were. Life in the nation was a mess. Something had to happen. But what? And behind Luke's introduction to the story of John the Baptist is this story of oppression and misery. The situation was serious, and in fact it was building up to explosion point. Now, for years, devout Jews had longed for a new word from God. Some believed that prophecy had died out, but some hoped that one day it might be revived. And many hoped that perhaps a new movement would begin, and through it God would renew the age-old covenant and again bring Israel out of slavery into a new freedom. And the old prophets had spoken of a time of renewal through which God would come back to them. Isaiah, for example, that we heard from Luke's gospel, had prophesied a forerunner and messenger. And Isaiah said, "Hear a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. The valleys will be filled, the mountains and hills made level. The curves will be straightened, and the rough places made smooth. And then all people will see the salvation sent from God." So there was a promise, there was prophetic word, there was hope that was offered. But when? Fortunately, what Isaiah prophesied applied to John. And even so, people only had a sketchy idea of what this would look like. But now, a fiery young prophet appears in the Judean wilderness, and he goes around the towns and the villages telling people that the time had come now. And interestingly, they were ready to listen to him. He spoke about baptism. Baptism, plunging into the River Jordan, was a powerful sign of this renewal. Again, there's a backstory. The pattern is the Exodus. And the Exodus was celebrated in the Jews' annual Passovers and other festivals. It was therefore a story they knew well. It was the event that formed them decisively as a nation. And what happened? When the people of Israel came out of Egypt, out of slavery, they went through the Red Sea. They went on through the Sinai wilderness and then through the Jordan River into the Promised Land. It was like a series of baptisms. Now they were in slavery again, but this time in their own land. But they wanted a new deliverance, a new exodus to bring them freedom. And so Israel longed for God's favor to be experienced again. But there's a catch. The message that the prophets had declared pointed a finger at the people of Israel. And the prophets declared that this slavery was the result of Israel's sin. They were guilty. Guilty of disobeying God, guilty of worshipping idols rather than their one true God. And the new Exodus, when it happened, would have to deal with all this. And the way to escape slavery, the prophets had said, was to return to God with heart and soul. In other words, to repent. Malachi says, "Return to me, and I will return to you," says the Lord. And it was this that set John's agenda. Luke tells us, "Then John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that people should be baptized to show that they'd repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven." It was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And so John was doing what the prophet Isaiah had said. He was preparing a pathway for the Lord to return to his people. And this was the time. Rescue was at hand. And so all this sets the stage for the entrance of Jesus. Jesus, the Savior. Jesus, the Deliverer. Jesus, the Son of the Living God. God was about to act, and it would all come together. Next week, I shall continue this exciting story, and you'll get part 2 of the sermon next time.